Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another Inside the Birds TV live edition. This is the Ask ITB live stream, our first ever, brought to you, of course, by our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm Jeff Mosher. That other guy is Adam Kaplan. And look, we're really excited to introduce this to the Inside the Birds platform, this weekly live stream that we're going to do. We have a couple of questions that have been pre-submitted, but of course, we want to answer the questions of people who are watching right now. Now, the gauntlet's been laid down by Adam already. We need more time on the draft. So let's try to keep our questions focused on what's going on with the Eagles right now, a little bit of free agency, cap, current Eagles, guys who may wind up getting cut and so forth or restructured. And as we go down the line next week, week after, as Adam and I kind of talk to more sources that we've got about the draft and pro days go on, we'll be able to answer some more draft questions.
Yeah, I mean, there's no combine. There's just not a lot of information right now. Now, there are some things we could talk about, like Kyle Pitts. We absolutely have information on him, certain receivers, but we don't get deep into the draft until late March. Free agency is always up first. That's not changing. So that's kind of what we're going to be looking at. But we certainly could take limited draft questions on guys we know about.
Absolutely. We look forward to doing it. And look forward to getting this new venture started. So I know people have asked us about this, Adam, so it's kind of cool to do something more interactive where we can answer the questions from our listeners, our viewers, and things like that, and be more interactive. Because we used to do this with the podcast, but we ran out of time to, the Eagles are kind of busy lately, if people haven't noticed.
Yeah.
So we run out of time to actually address the
questions. There's some great questions. I could tell some guys clearly were waiting because they asked us the same questions on our message board on Facebook. I guess we didn't get to them, so they brought them in here. These are good. I'm going to hit them up. I have no problem doing it. That's why we're here, so we'll do it.
Awesome. So let's start. I have a few questions from people who got to us on Twitter or Facebook early because they either couldn't make the live stream or just wanted to get their questions in early. So we're going to start with a question from our Facebook community group from Austin Stevenson, Adam, and he kind of asks – I'm sorry, wrong question. Carl Stevenson, I got my Stevensons mixed up. Carl Stevenson, at IdolProf on Twitter. He says, can't wait for this. So here we are. Here's the question. The Eagles had cap money left over in 2020. How does that apply to 2021? And can the Eagles sign some free agents this year because of all the teams that are dealing with the lower cap? So let's attack the first question first. They did have money that they were able to roll over. Do you have the exact, remember, I thought it was something between 20 and 21 million.
I'll know in about 45. I have it all. I'm going to open my file. I need about a minute and a half to open this up.
But that will help them alleviate some of their issue, correct?
Yes, correct. So the issue will be, will they have money when it comes to March 17th? Yes, they don't have it now, but they will. They'll be under the cap. I do not expect them to be big players in free agency. Jeff had talked about Hargrave as a guy they really had interested in. You saw that kind of deal. They made some pretty big moves in free agency, the Slade trade. I'm not anticipating that this time around. I'm not saying they won't get involved with some mid-level free agents once they get under and once they make a couple other maneuvers, so to speak, as Chip Kelly used to call them. I used to get a laugh when he would call them that. but overall, they're going to they'll do a couple things here and there. Last year, we had the big scoop that they were not going to get involved in the receiver situation. This time around, Jeff, I still believe that, by the way, they're going to carry over $22
million. Okay.
From last
season.
So that's
still going to mean they're probably going to have to shave off, about 40 more million? I mean,
yes,
they were about 7
million. More than that. So the fact of the matter is all teams must be under the cap, and the cap – it's interesting. Ryan Pace, the general manager of the Bears, said on Tuesday during his Zoom session with the media, they're working with the 180 number. That's what he gave that out. 180 million, he believes, is going to be the cap number. That's what they're working with right now as we speak. So, folks, that's the number the Eagles will look at in all NFL teams. Now, it doesn't mean it can't be a little bit higher. I've been given the range of 180 to 185, so I think that's fair. But for the sake of this discussion, when a general manager goes on the record says 180, I'm going to take that. So that's what we'll look at.
All right. Well, that's significantly down from last year. Yep. So to address the second part of Carl's question, which is, will they be able to sign free agents? I mean, of course they're not just getting cap compliant. They will have to be under the cap to afford rookies, and they will have to make some moves, Adam. We know that they only have one quarterback on the roster right now, and that's Jalen Hurts, so they're going to have to make moves there. So, yeah, I mean, I think you and I both expect that they'll participate in free agency. It just will not be a spending spree, maybe a few veterans on one-year deals, you would think, something with low guaranteed money.
Yeah, that's what Brian Levy said, the Mike Tomlin's agent, who also has Passignon from Villanova and Marlon Mack. He was on with us on NFL Radio on Saturday. He said that because of the low cap numbers, cap money available, save, you know, teams like the Jets, like the Jaguars, like the Patriots, who are like really tight against the cap last year. The Patriots will have 60 to 70 million under the cap, which is unbelievable, but that's kind of where the roster is a skeleton anyway. But nevertheless, you're looking at a lot of veteran one-year deals because there's so many teams that are having cap difficulties. And, you know, the Saints, the Eagles, but the Steelers are another team that's right up against it. The Titans are right up against it. The Falcons are right up against it. The Bills are right up against it. Packers are right up against it.
Right.
Texans now, by a lot of moves, are under the cap. The Chiefs are over the cap. Rams are over the cap. So, yeah, it's not what you would want, but there are going to be a lot of veterans cut, unfortunately, this year, more than you normally would happen.
I already have seen some guys who are of name value are out as free agents. Real quick, because Carl is actually on the live stream now and asked us about the injured IR policy. What's going on, Carl? Will that
Great
be continued
question.
In 2021? Yeah, there are a couple things that were introduced last year that I'd like to know.
Carl, that's a great question. So the personal people I spoke to at the end of the season thought that it probably would not stick like it was. And they loved it, by the way, Carl. Answer your question. Because they don't, and they also, because what happens is when they had the old rule, you could bring a guy off injured reserve. You had to, the guy had to be on, out for 9 weeks. He could come back, I think, either the 9th or 10th week. I don't have the old rule in front of me. But now, because of the COVID issue, you only had to miss 3 weeks and you could come back. Instead of trying to hide guys on IR, that this is the biggest issue the league had with teams that would cheat. But they want to take that away. But, man, personal people I trust love it. They're just skeptical if the league will carry it, but they don't know yet. And that's a great question. We'll probably know relatively soon on that one. I hope so. Because that helps
teams. I hope so, too.
Don't you think, Jeff?
Yeah, can you imagine what the Eagles would have been like last year if you couldn't put that many people on IR with a chance to return? I mean, they had some guys who were out 6-7 weeks, and they may have had to make a business decision there.
Exactly.
Including Zach Ertz.
Right.
You know, right. I'm trying to think. There are several. I mean, Jalen Reagor might have missed the rest of his rookie year if they decided to shut him down that long, because you need to reinforcement. So you need space on the roster to be able to do that. And, of course, you don't want to have to – the only downside is, you know, when you do it the way it was done last year, you're paying a lot of guys because you have guys coming back and then you're filling their spots where ordinarily you may not. You just have to make up with what you got. So we'll see if the owners would agree to it. But I think they will, because I think it's great for competition purposes and when stars get hurt and to be able to come back.
Right. The only issue with that is, and this is kind of off of what you just said, and this is what personnel people guys were telling me, that because of COVID, you had the unlimited amount of players you could bring off IR. They don't think if we're back to normal this fall, relative normalcy, that they don't think they'll have an unlimited amount. Maybe they'll have six instead of two. You know, the old rule is two. You know, so that's the only issue, I would think, being realistic about it, is everybody loved the rule, but they don't want people taking advantage of it. You know, the COVID thing is going to be interesting. We'll see what happens here. I was talking to a coach right before we came on, actually an NFL offense coordinator. He says no one's told him specifically yet, but he's operating on the belief that they will not have an offseason, that they will not have May and June until he finds out otherwise. He's assuming it's – despite how well teams did with the COVID issue, he just doesn't think the vibe that he's been getting that they're going to have an offseason. He hopes he's wrong. But I will tell you, Jeff, though, these coaches like working from home sometimes to be with their family. They do kind of
– I'm sure they do.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I like working from home too.
I miss the combine.
Let's go.
we miss the combine.
Exactly, right? I know. It sucks not to be at the combine, but, you know, can't do anything about it. Maybe next year. We got a question from someone in Canada. That's pretty awesome. Philly Jeremy is his name, and he wants to know what the Heat – what is the interest level will be in Malik Hooker, and what would a contract look like for him? Now, here's an interesting guy you were just referencing. I mean, he was not – he's not old. I mean, he just played out his first contract. He is a former Colt, and so we've seen a lot of Colts-Eagles connections so far already. Plays a position that the Eagles certainly can use some help in. But do you think – I tend to think Malik Hooker will probably be the type of guy who's young enough that there will probably be a couple of teams – looking to bring him in, and he might get more than a one-year deal. What do you think on that?
Significant injury history. That's the problem. He only
played, true.
Yeah, he is. That's it's not a talent issue. It's a availability issue. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. He missed 9 games his first year, 2 in the second, 3 in the third, and 14 this past season. And I don't doubt that there should be more than one team available because he's really talented. But the clubs have the leverage because he just can't stay on the field. It's not a talent issue. You're paying. There's always a reason, folks, that players become free agents. Every once in a while, you get lucky. Like at 17, everything the Eagles did, even Garrett Blunt, who showed up very heavy to training camp, who knew he'd be as good as he was? Patrick Robinson, to go through the whole list of everything that worked out well. That's rare that you sign a bunch of free agents and they work out well. It's fool's gold. You want to develop your own players, draft undrafted free agents, and supplement for free agency. You got to be careful of guys who become available. There's a reason for it. But if you've got good intel on it, and it's a thing like this, as you said, Jeff, Hooker's only 24. He's a talented guy. You should get a bargain because guy's been hurt a lot.
Absolutely. Our next question has pertained to – I just lost the chat. But here we go. It comes from Austin Butler. Good question. Do you think Jalen Mills is back? And if so, what position with this staff? I think no matter what, Adam, that if he's back on a probably on a one-year deal cheaply, I would think, and at safety, some kind of either safety or third safety hybrid guy. I can't imagine that he's back as an outside corner. I don't think it would be unwise, though, to bring him back to compete for a second or third safety spot because they're young, because Roddy McLeod, he's coming back from the ACL. And because there were times I thought he showed that he can play the position, other times he struggled. So let him grow. And don't you think that if cover two is going to be a little bit more on the playbook this year, that's kind of a manageable type of position he could learn to play?
It's cover three.
No, well, I don't know. I mean, I was under the impression that because he came from the Colts that he might mix in more cover two.
Heard pretty strongly is it's going to be mostly Minnesota. That's kind of the belief. Okay. They're going to run the Minnesota system. All teams run cover two at some point. You know, you run it, you're trying to take away the deep ball. But to me, Mills just doesn't run well enough to play corner. We said this now for 3 years. He's smart. He's tough. That's why Jim Schwartz wanted him back and loved him as a player. But he's just not an outside corner. I mean, funny, last year, he had to play some corner, if you remember, late in the season. But the same stuff shows up. I like your point about being a hybrid player. I do believe because he's smart, you could figure out a way to use him. But he's a minimum deal, one-year guy. You see if he could ever make it at safety. And then again, there's no offseason right now. If they don't have an offseason, you can't get those valuable reps. I had a coach tell me that he estimated that his rookies last year missed over 500 snaps in the offseason. Just think about that for a young player.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. Yeah, no, I do think, even though at the end of every year, I keep thinking it's time to move on from Jalen Mills, there's something about it. It keeps bringing me back. You know, like you look at their situation, they don't have a lot of veteran safeties. He can play if he's put in the correct role. He's never going to be a star or a Pro Bowler, but he can be, one of those value complimentary type of players that you have on the team. He does anything the coaches ask for him. He's the type of player that you like to have on. That's why Jim Schwartz liked him so much. So as long as you bring him back and it's probably a one-year deal, I think there's better reason to think that Jalen Mills could be back than that he's not back. But then again, new coaching staff, you never know. Could have a total evaluation.
That's exactly why. Yeah. I would not agree with you on that one. That's totally up to – the new coaching staff. We don't know how they feel about certain players yet. We're starting to look into that. You and I have been looking into it. And that's the thing with the new coaching staff. Everybody's got a clean slate, except for one thing. They watch the tape and they see what they saw from last season.
Fair point. I don't know how they feel about Jalen Mills. I was basically just going off the logic of you don't have a whole lot of bodies at that position. He has experience. He's not expensive. You can bring him back. And if you don't like what you see, you can cut him. I mean, it's not going to cost you a lot of guaranteed money. We'll see what happens with that. Next question comes from Anthony Jefferson. The top priority in-house, it's resign or extension. Who do we think the Eagles should put their top priority extension into? And this is a good question, right? Because you've got some pretty good – it's hard. Like, you've got Dallas Goedert. You've got Josh Sweat. You've got Jordan Mailata. You know, there are some other guys.
Dark Barnett. Everybody else. Here's why. His cap number is his salary, just over $10 million. You got to lower that. We've been talking about this now for a year. You should be able to lower that pretty significantly. And then obviously you give him a massive signing bonus to make up for lowering his base salary. It's simple. It's a simple extension. We've got a bunch of those questions. I saw there are probably three or four different ways people have asked us about Barnett. I know he's not perfect, but he's a good football player. He did well last season. Not great. I don't think he'll ever be an A-level player, but he showed that he deserves to come back for future years. He's a young guy. To me, I want to get that before free agency starts. I want that done. If I'm Roseman and the front office, I want that taken care of. That to me would be, answer your question, that is absolutely a priority to get done.
So even more so than Dallas Goedert. I agree with you because you could, if you wanted to, have Goedert play out the fourth year, see if he stays healthy. Yeah, exactly. Obviously, I think they're going to extend him anyway. But if you had to pick one, I agree with you. You cut Barnett. Sure, you saved the $10 million, but look at your defensive end.
They won't cut him. There's no chance.
Josh Sweat.
Yeah, Barnett would be traded. Right. Either extended or now I would say this, though. This time last year, if he didn't play well, I certainly could have seen him cut because he had not he needed to have a good year, and he did. And then he missed, what, all training camp or close to it, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, pretty much all of it.
Yeah, so he would be, to answer your question, it's a really good question. I would say Barnett, I would rank him as far as extending. Barnett, Goedert behind him. Kelsey,
you can wait on Mailata, right?
Do you wait on Mailata? Oh, Mailata, yeah, thank you. You know what? They don't have to do it. I'm sorry?
You might get him at a really good discount, though, if you sign him now for the next 5 years. You got a left tackle.
And by the way, I do believe he'll get extended before the start of the regular season. Kelsey, if he comes back, they'll lower his cap number. This will be an extension if he comes back. And then, you know, the question would be, though, Jeff, what do they do? You and I debated this on our last show. If Kelsey comes back, assume he's just going to be here for a year, right? Mm-hmm. Where's Isaac Seumalo's future?
If Jason Kelsey comes back?
Right. Now, but okay, let's say he does. Let's say this is Kelsey's last year. What is this? 2021. Or, again, this will be his last year. Let's look at it. Let's assume he's not back after this year, right? Let's say for argument's sake, he is coming back for one more year. Is Isaac Seumalo a left guard for the rest of his career, or would he be Kelsey's replacement?
Oh, that's a tough question, Adam. You never know who they're going to come away with in the draft. You never know what kind of second-year or third-year development now Nate Herbig is going to show. I mean, to me, he's the number one option if Jason Kelsey's not here because he's been a starter. He's a good player. He projected as a center coming out of Oregon State. They felt he could do it. And he's built for the grind, very, very rarely injured. I don't know that Nate Herbig is ready to be a starter. I don't know if Luke Jariga is a guy they want starting. You're talking about guys who are undrafted free agents. Your best athlete right now and your best, most representative center to take over for Jason Kelsey would be Isaac Seumalo. And then maybe you can fill that left guard role with someone like Jack Driscoll or if somebody else stands out. But we have to actually see how this draft goes. They may wind up drafting fairly high, an interior offensive lineman, second, third, fourth round, who can compete for center and take to it naturally. I think the good thing is they have that option, but they also have the option of moving Isaac there and then filling left guard with someone else if they need to.
How would you rank the priorities for them heading into free agency? Then obviously the draft will be determined what they do in free agency. How right now, if you had to rank needs on the roster, how would you rank like their top three?
Well, like by virtue of just who's under contract and not, they need a backup quarterback. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So, I mean, you've only got one, and that's Jalen Hurts. So the backup quarterback number one. And since we're talking free agency and not the draft, I would probably say thumper running back.
That's a first, right?
Well, actually, to be fair, maybe a cornerback, because if Avante Maddox moves to 100%. The slot, they have no natural starter opposite Darius Slay. So if there's a veteran corner you can sign to a 1-2 year deal for not a lot of money and just hope that he's got some mileage left, that's probably important, more important than the number two running back.
If they do that, which they should do, it will not in any way preclude them from drafting a corner. One doesn't have to have anything to do with the other. They just need a corner to get by this season opposite Slay. Remember, folks, after the season, there's no more guaranteed money left in Slay's contract. So if they don't extend him and he doesn't play well this season, there's no guarantee he'll be back in 22. He needs to play a little bit better than last season. He certainly, for the most part, played pretty well, pretty solid football. We know he had his issues. You know, some of these top young corners got him. Overall, I would rank their needs heading into a free agency. I'm talking about long-term needs, not short-term. Mm-hmm. Long-term needs would be outside corner. To me, it's outside corner. It's interior, wide receiver. I'm sorry?
Pass rusher, maybe?
Pass rusher, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Brandon Graham's older. Josh Sweat is a guy who's going to be on. He's going to be on a snap count. They need depth, rotation. I would also say wide receiver again. And after that, number two running back. It's way down on my list, but it's just something. Last year, Boston Scott showed that he can't be that guy. He's a third back. He's a changeup. He's not a backup NFL running back. He's not a number two NFL running back.
I would agree with that. They definitely need a number two running back, and preferably someone with size.
All right, we got 10 linebackers. No, just kidding.
Is that enough? Oh man, linebackers. This is the latest podcast. If you want to hear our trip down memory lane of random Eagles linebackers of the past. It was funny because a couple of people said, "Hey, you guys didn't mention D'Amico Ryans or LaVon Kirkland," and it was like, "No, those guys can actually play." Yeah, we were talking randomly.
Right. I was looking at guys who they signed, and they did a ton of these guys as undrafted free agents.
Yeah.
Or anyone that they draft.
Yeah.
And we covered Matt McCoy. Was that his name?
Yeah, he was actually a high draft, a second-round pick, I believe.
He was a second-rounder. Kendricks. But then the Brian Rawls of the world, who you had mentioned.
Brian Rawls.
It's so funny.
Martinis and Akeem Jordans and the Joe Mazes of the world. By the way, all of them were really cool to interview.
Akeem Jordan, right. We went through a Pago Tokafau. I mean, come on.
The Eagles really hit on guys who could interview well and just had good personality and were fun to talk to. I thought most of the linebackers they took were awesome guys in the locker room. It's just staying pal. All right, we got a couple more questions we'll get to. First, download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Everyone, use the code ITB, and you're going to get a lot of sign-up bonuses. That's the promo code ITB for Inside the Birds, and you'll get a bunch of sign-up bonuses using the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. All right, Adam, the next question comes from Victor Chekhov, and he asks if Alex Smith is someone the Eagles should or will consider as the backup QB. When I think Alex Smith as a backup, I think money. I mean, he showed he can still play a little bit last year. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be in the Eagles' price range.
Yeah, and they're not going to – because they're into Wentz for so much on dead money, they're not going to want to pay very much for the backup quarterback. And we got a lot of questions on Hurts, so let's address that.
Mm-hmm.
No one's told me specifically that Hurts will be the starter, but it's my sense is that he'll wind up being the starter. Now, doesn't mean they won't draft someone. They're going to – we know they're going to add two quarterbacks. They have to, because you can't go to training camp with one or two. Mm-hmm. You have to go in with three for reps, as you know. They'll have a veteran quarterback. I don't see them paying more than $4 to $5 million. As a matter of fact, last year, if Doug Peterson didn't tell Nate Sudfeld he was going to be the number two, Joe Flacco would have probably been the guy.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And, but you know, Doug promised Nate.
Can that buy them? Can $4 to $5 million buy them somebody in that?
There are a lot of. I'll tell you what. There are a lot of. Let me give you the names that are out there. Okay. Now, Jacoby Brissett will cost more than that. I know people are starting to wonder about him because of Nick Sirianni. Mm-hmm. He's not. Brissett's not making anywhere close to what he had made with the Colts. That's fact. But guys are out there. Tyrod Taylor, Mitch Trubisky. Although the Bucs say they want Blaine Gabbert back. I don't want Mike Glennon. But Josh McCown, obviously, he was just cut by the Texans. I don't know. I don't know if he wants to play. The Eagles absolutely love him. We know that.
Sure.
Fitzpatrick is going to cost money. In fact, I feel strongly he'll be competing for a starting job somewhere. There are going to be multiple teams in on him where he'll go and have a chance to start, I believe. I really do.
Yeah, so that's why it's hard to figure out who they're going to be able to bring in, given their limited resources, that can actually be a decent backup quarterback. Do you think there's any chance with the new
Brian
coaching?
Hoyer.
Yeah, I was wondering if there's any chance that maybe Nate Sudfeld can still come back. I know old coaching staff lost faith, but this is a new staff. Yeah. And he's a good locker room guy. He's well-liked.
He's a great guy. But the problem is he's not been the same quarterback since 2018.
Right.
They need an answer. They can't go in without – no, they need someone with experience. Nate simply doesn't have experience. They need somebody who started games that if Hurts gets hurt or he's struggling, they could go to the next guy. And that next guy's got to have started games. I love Brissett, but he's just going to cost too much money. He's clearly one of the top four or five backups out there. He's at that higher tier. Marcus Mariota is still under contract. Raiders have received interest from other teams. Now, I know there's some reports out there saying that a bunch of teams have backed off. If that's true, I would think it would be medically related. So I was told by multiple teams that they were concerned with the issues from 19 in terms of injury. He had a couple injuries that were underreported or under-discussed. But if you look at the way he looked in limited time, he came off the bench for Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
He looked awesome in that Thursday night game. He looked like he was shot out of a cannon. Really explosive.
Yeah. So, obviously, we'll have to keep an eye on that market there for Marcus Mariota. All right, Sean Wolford has asked, any word to whether the Eagles are looking to extend Josh Sweat and or Maialata this spring or just let them play on the final year of their rookie deal? So we talked about this a little bit, but I want to bring up Sean's question to really kind of discuss the idea of not extending some of these guys for reasons that we've talked about. With Sweat, it's the knees. And with Maialata, it's A, the back, and B, the fact that he's really only
The back's not an issue. By the way, you could throw that to the side. The back – They don't think it's an issue. They figured out what it was. It's just that, are you going to do this early? Because he's not been a full-time starter for a full season. Like he looked pretty damn good. Like they kind of know what they have. Everybody's on board. The back thing is a year and a half ago, and they know that it's not an issue anymore. It was a training issue. It was nothing structural.
Okay.
He didn't need it. He didn't need surgery. A year and a half ago, as we actually reported it here, he was fine. I do expect this contract, by the way, to get extended at some point in the offseason, whether it's June, August, I couldn't tell you. They've got so many things they got to do. Who was the other player you was talking about?
Sweat. We were talking about Sweat and Maialata.
Yeah. Sweat is only one knee, not both, by the way.
Right.
It's a great question. See, I like your point about you don't need to do anything with him now because of the history with that knee. It's a condition. They know exactly what it is. They don't need to do it. And it's not like they're creating cap space. He's a fourth round pick. The salary is very small anyway. You're not going to save much anyway if you extended him. Mm-hmm. So to me, he's not a priority. It's a great question. I just don't think he's a priority at this point.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that priority. But the reason why I would definitely lean toward doing it is because he's improved every single year. I think he had 6.5 sacks last year. If used correctly, I mean, he could be a guy who gets 8, 9, 10, even if he's not a starter. And if he were to do that going into the final, in the final year of his deal, there are plenty of teams, including the Eagles, who don't mind spending a little bit money, even on a situational pass rusher. So you don't want to inflate his price tag anymore. You can still sign him right now and probably get him on a nice deal and not have to compete with other teams or as he gets closer to free agency. So I love the progress. I think you're right. He's been one of the best stories of development on the Eagles over the last few years. Wrap him up now while he's cost efficient and just use him as your situational rusher as much as possible for the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
and got these kind of deals, Adam, right? You know that most of the money is in the first or second year. So yeah, if he really does wear down and the wear and tear gets to him so he doesn't have a very long career, you're probably not going to be worried about him 3 years or 4 years down the road, more just this coming year. And
I would do a run-year structure. Did you see Kyle Van Noy's? Unbelievable. Kyle Van Noy was cut on Tuesday. Well, he was told the transaction didn't go to the league yet, but they told him they're going to cut him.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable, these deals. So he signs like a four-year, $51 million deal, right?
Right.
The guaranteed signing is pretty good, but the structure was so – it was to the point where, like, if he didn't play well or they didn't want him because he's getting older, he turns 30, they cut him. He made $15 million in year one. It was to your point on the one-year structure.
Right.
They're going to cut him because he's got $12.5 million due, fully guaranteed on March 21st, so they're going to make sure they don't pay him that. You're absolutely right with Josh Sweat because of the history with that knee going back to school where, you know, you got the nerve issue where you weren't sure if you'd ever play sports again. Yeah, I mean, you can do this early if you want, but when you look at priorities, they have so many guys they got to get through here and they have to do some restructure. Some guys might have to take pay cuts. The good thing is free agency doesn't start till March 17th. They've got a lot of time here. In fact, talking to a lot of agents, even some agents with good players, they're not getting calls yet because free agency starting a little bit later than usual. And we would have had the combine last week. And then they don't start talking money till the week before free agency starts. So next week is when you start hearing stuff.
Awesome. Reminder to everyone as we finish off, we'll take a few more questions that we are really heavily focused more on in-house free agents, contracts, restructures, things like that. We will get to the draft as we get closer to the draft and do a little bit more homework. Adam, next question comes from, I hope I pronounce this correctly, Anish David. It could be Anish David. He says, good evening, guys. With the NFL cap situation the way it is, this is a really good question. Do you see players taking one-year deals this year until the cap increases? Now, we should note, Adam, that last year there was an extraordinary, I would say, number of free agents, decent young free agents, who took three-year deals instead of the six or seven, including Javon Hargrave being one of them, right? He took a three-year deal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, and that he had leverage. And by the way, very few players now take anything more than 4 years. The average deal now is 4 years, where you mentioned six. It used to be five or six. Now they're four. And if you've got leverage like Hargrave did, you take three. That way you get another deal done before you're 30. So that's what he was thinking.
So do you think guys will take one-year deals with that report of the TV money? Well, not necessarily TV money, but just the fact that the cap is likely to go up next year.
It depends. Well, one-year deals are typically prove it deals. You don't – a guy like Hargrave never would have taken a one-year deal.
Right.
You wouldn't do that. The only way you're taking – like, here's an interesting – I was talking to a team who likes Nelson Agholor. They're trying to figure out who he is as a player. Like, they thought his tape was really good. He still dropped too many passes. But – they line them up everywhere, X, Y, and Z at the receiver positions. They're just trying to figure out, do they do a big deal with him, a medium deal? They're just trying to figure out who he is as a receiver. And this is what free agency is. Sometimes guys like Agholor are so up and down over the map over their career. We know where he was great in 17, bad in 16, 18 and 19, 18 not as good, or 19 not as good, and then 20 blows up. So you're trying to... That's what free agency is. Sometimes it's fool's gold. It's hard to sometimes figure out who guys are because their tape shows you one thing, and then you go back and you go, wow, he really wasn't as good as we thought. But Nelson Agholor is a guy that's fascinating. I want to see what kind of deal it is. You got a 1 or 2 year structure.
Yeah. Also, take a guy like Allen Robinson, right? Becomes a free agent, he's going to hit the jackpot. And there's not a lot of teams who would only offer a one-year deal that can give him the kind of guaranteed money in 1 year that he's going to make.
No one's offering him a one-year deal. There's no chance that'll happen.
Well, that's my point. He's not going to accept that no matter what. So
The only free agents who get one-year deals are guys who are coming off bad years or injured. Yeah, that's something that works. Yeah,
right.
You get a multi-year deal. In fact, Allen Robinson, if the Bears don't tag him, if they let him walk, they're out of their minds. He is so good.
I agree with you. you know, I wear my Penn State pride on my, you know, everything. So,
Kermit,
I mean,
once again, you don't have to run fast to be a great receiver. He is so good. Leader, does everything the right way. I mean, I understand he's not a burner. Who cares? Did you see the stat that PFF put up? He's like number three in catches over 20 yards for the last, I don't know, might have been 4 years or 5 years.
Right.
I don't understand. Like, you were a Penn State guy. Do you think he dropped a little bit in the draft? He wasn't a first rounder because he didn't run fast? I'm assuming what it was.
Some of that, I think the fact that he went to Penn State was a little bit some of that reputation. I mean, I graduated Penn State in 98. When I was there, the best receiver we had was Bobby Engram. And he was unbelievable at Penn State, but the best he was in the NFL was a pretty good possession receiver. He wasn't a superstar by any stretch of the means. And, you know, for the longest time under the Paterno era, there really weren't – wide receiver was not a glamour position at Penn State. And now you look and you see Allen Robinson and Chris Godwin are probably two of the five or six best receivers in the game. So it's really changed. And we'll see. They got a kid named Jahan Dotson right now who's going to come back. I mean, I thought he might have been a first-round pick this year if he came out. But he's got athleticism out the ass and speed and all that. So he's going to be great. So, you know, I feel like in some ways Allen set the tone for the new wave of Penn State. You know, Bill O'Brien left and then James Franklin came in and also has paid a lot of attention to athleticism, speed, quickness, dynamic on the offensive side.
Kid at Denver drafted last year.
KJ Hamler, another one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, did we talk about him? Oh, before we get out of here, I do want to talk about this because I actually was talking to NFL offensive coordinator tonight and he gave me some great stuff on Pitts. Mm-hmm. So this is from the ITB Facebook, Austin Stevenson. Also on Pitts, how realistic is the idea he could line up full-time at X and play Mike Evans-style game? No one probably would ask him to do it full-time, like every snap, but could he line up a third of the time or more? Yes. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yes. Doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. That question was asked earlier, and I did some homework on that. I talked to three different personnel people. Okay. And all of them agree with what you said, that he could play the X and at times.
Darren Waller. I think Darren Waller.
Right. One personnel guy told me that if he focused on pad leverage, technique, and learning how to be a strictly X receiver like Mike Evans, he feels like he could be down the road comparable. But he says he's too much of a matchup nightmare as a movable piece to just focus on the X. If you think about Mike Evans, Adam, he catches the ball 40 yards downfield using his just innate ability to leverage his size, his hands, his eyes, his awareness. He's been a receiver all of his life on the outside. So even though he's very tall, he has an understanding of how to make long, deep catches 30 or 40 yards downfield. You look at Kyle Pitts, he's been an interior receiver who can line up on the outside. So he's not the type of guy that you're going to be throwing the ball in the air 30, 40 yards to. You want him in that 10 to 20 yard short area so that he can turn and use it. So while he could do it like Mike Evans, he's better off, from what I've been told by three different people, better off being that movable piece and interior receiver and just being a mismatch nightmare all over the field.
Yeah, by the way, we're going to save some. We're doing this every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. So we're saving these questions that we're not able to get to tonight.
Right.
And we'll hit them next week. So we've got four or five that are really good. A lot of stuff on Hurts. People want our opinion, man. It just, you know, it's four games he's only played.
I know. I'm probably it's a little very bit to expand on anything more than we've already said.
Yeah, about. I mean, I'm a little bit higher on him than most people just because I was very impressed with under difficult circumstances. Showing toughness under no matter what position you play, when you're thrown in to the fire, when you know, no one thought he would be asked to play. Obviously, he wasn't drafted to ever play unless Wentz got hurt and he got in for a different reason. But nevertheless, we'll talk more about him next week. And next week we'll start rolling in more in free agency and a little bit more draft stuff. But I enjoyed this. This was fun.
Yeah, I'm going to get one more question in because I don't know if we'll have a chance to address it, and we'll end it on this. It's from Ross Gibbs. Should the Eagles start over with their whole secondary besides Maddox and trade Darius Slay? It's something we've kind of touched on a little bit. We'll get into it more in our next podcast because that's going to focus on the defensive backfield. But I would not, Adam, be against the idea of trading Darius Slay if you got some decent competition, like a third or a fourth or maybe a couple of picks, because I think his talent is going to kind of get wasted this year in a down year or in a secondary that's not very good. I don't want to sound defeatist or anything like that because I still think this team can compete. but I would do it if I got what I felt was decent compensation. But I'm not rushing to trade him at all, because his cap number is pretty big this year, if I'm not mistaken. Or something like that?
That sounds correct, but I'd have to look that up. But
yeah.
Yeah. Let's see if there's anything else we want to answer that real quick here. Now, a lot of Pitts questions. You know, we kind of went over that.
Right.
He's going to be so polarizing where he should go. He's going top 10, folks. I just don't. We're in March. We're not in late April, so we won't. You know, it's not. It's going to be a while till we actually could start pinning stuff down. Oh, right. Pro Days, as you said, by the way, they just started this week. So, and they go through the first week of April. So, a lot to get over there. Oh, we have an announcement to make, also, don't we? Soon.
We do have an announcement to make here. We'll make it here and sure. Some other places. Well, first of all, two things. Make sure you're checking out our Inside the Birds YouTube channel and podcast platform Wednesday morning, because the first ever Q&A show with Quentin Michael and Jason Avant is about to drop. They are an Inside the Birds presentation. We're excited to have them. I've already heard they're recorded tonight. It's a great show, so everybody check it out. Some really good stories and insight. You know, Jason Avant was coaching with the team this year as an assistant wide receivers coach, so he's got some eyes and ears on what went on throughout the year. And he has some pretty good stories, so I would check that out. And as we get closer to the draft in a couple of weeks, we're going to start doing a separate show also with Greg Cosell related to the NFL draft. So it'll be Adam, myself, Greg Cosell, Inside the Draft with Greg Cosell. And it'll start, I want to say, the final weekend of March. We'll do 6 shows with him, 1 a week, 5 weeks leading up to the draft, and then a recap show after the draft with Greg Cosell. And that, of course, will be on our Inside the Birds YouTube platforms and, of course, our podcast platforms.
We'll take selected questions. We'll take a limited amount. We'll take a little bit for Greg.
Right.
We'll explain kind of what questions we're looking for. They have to be very specific, because there's only things you could answer.
That's not going to be a live stream, by the way. That'll
Exactly. But wait, you had asked about who did you ask for? Was 5.5? You was it Kelsey you asked about? Who did you ask about? Darius Slay. I'm sorry. Darius Slay, his number last year was super cheap. You're right. It was, man. Oh, my God. It was an extension, not a restructure.
I'm sorry. An extension, yeah.
Yeah. $4.3 million. My God. Take a guess what his cap number is this year.
Well, I said 6.5, but I must have been low on that. It might be up toward 8, 9, 10. I don't know.
Way higher. Way higher.
Wow. What is it?
$15.75 million.
Oh, man. Like I said, if I'm getting a couple of draft picks for him, I may have to make that move. Because if not, then you're probably going to have to restructure that contract and kick some money down the road.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, what do you – because, well, let's put it this way. He's not going anywhere this year, obviously. You have to make a decision, though, because after this year, there's no guaranteed money.
You don't think they could trade him? That would absorb
Who do you line up a cornerback? They have no one who could play on the outside other than this guy. No one.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're saying. All right. I just figured that was
Tell me you're going to stick out there.
Nah, you're right. Then it really is like you're giving up on the season. And we know
Michael Chiquette?
How's Graylin Arnold?
You want to do that? Enjoy yourself, but I don't think that's going to work.
Nah, you're probably right. And Maddox is definitely going to play on the inside. I mean, at least we
do
expect.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. All right. No trade for Darius Slay. I didn't realize the cap number was that high. So yeah, you're gonna have to live with that.
I mean, because what it is the dead money. Oh my goodness gracious, because they gave him a $13 million signing bonus. So it's not terrible dead money from proration, but they can't. You have to ask yourself this question: if you're trading Darius Slay, what are you? Yeah, like what would be the reasoning? I'm not opposed to it. I just don't see the point of it. What do you the guy plays 1 year and you move him? I don't see that.
Yep, that's fair. That's fair. All right, we're going to end it on that. Thanks, everybody, for participating. We got to as many questions as possible. If we didn't get to your question, we may have covered it in one of our other questions because there were a lot of repeats. But if we did not get to your question at all, we're going to be doing it again next Tuesday night, also at 8 o'clock. So tune in then. And if you missed any of this or you caught it late, this whole entire live stream will be available on our YouTube page. So you can check it out there. And we may be podcasting it as well. I think we will. So you can find it on our podcast platform by tomorrow morning. Thanks again, everyone, for participating. And I had a lot of fun. So for Adam Kaplan, I'm Jeff Mosher. Appreciate you watching ITB Live, our first ever Ask ITB live stream. We'll catch you on the next one.